We come to this chapter 8 in the book of Romans. And what a tremendous chapter it is of God's precious word. And what a verse that first verse is. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Romans 8 is one of the great chapters of the Bible that the unsaved cannot understand. And yet, to the one who has been awakened to his or her sinfulness before God, and to the judgment of God upon their sin, the words of this chapter is very precious. It's a chapter that teaches us what the work of the Holy Spirit does in the life of a born-again believer. And in Romans 8:1 we have that great statement that those who are in Christ have now no condemnation, are no longer controlled by the flesh, but are led by the Spirit. And those words, in Christ, are tremendous words. Because you and I who are saved by God's grace, we are in Christ. And those who are not saved are out of Christ. Now they may be full of religion. They may be up to the eyes in the church. They may be lovely people. They may be upright, moral people. But they are out of Christ. And that's their position. And if they die in that state, they will be cast into the lake of fire. But tonight, we are in Christ. And we have no condemnation. And what a change that is for us. Those who were condemned for our sin are now free from condemnation because we are in Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. First of all, the Spirit liberates in verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. The work of the Spirit in the life of an individual is one that brings them into a living relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. Out from under the penalty of the judgment, of the punishment, and the separation from God in life and in eternity. To a life as a son of God forever and an eternity in heaven. To come under the mercy and the grace of God is the most important thing in anyone's life. And the Spirit of God comes and He liberates us. He sets us free from that bondage that we were in from the day we were born, from that condemnation that we were under. And He sets us gloriously and wonderfully free. He regenerates our heart, and He sets us wonderfully free. Oh, He changes the desires of the heart from seeking to serve sin to seeking to serve God. The Spirit of God liberates and has set us free. And so we should ever be mindful of that great fact, that the day that you were saved, you were changed and liberated and set free, never again to be under the condemnation of God. Never, ever again to come under the judgment of God for our sin, to be separated from God forever. In verse 9, we have the Spirit indwells. It tells us, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. So if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. The sign of a true believer is the indwelling Spirit of God in the life, without which, the Bible tells us here, there is no salvation. Many are religious. Many have church connections. Many live a life that is exemplary. And on the outside is good and is clean. But the Bible tells us their heart is far from God. And these types of people we find, I believe, in every church fellowship. Some even hold office. Some deceive the elders and the minister by their right words and actions. They have enough knowledge of the gospel to be able to fool and pull the wool over the eyes even of a minister and of the elders. And all the while, they are hypocrites and reprobates. And eventually they are exposed for what they are. And Isaiah 29:13, wherefore the Lord saith, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth, and with their lips do honour me, but have removed their hearts far from me, and their fear towards me is taught by the precepts of men. Not by the Spirit of God, but just by the precepts of men. If you give somebody a choice of going to Spain for 6 weeks, or going to prison for 6 weeks, well, naturally they would say, I'll go to Spain for 6 weeks. And some people treat the gospel the same. They know there's a hell. They know there's a hell to shun. And they know if they come to Christ that they'll escape that. And with the head knowledge, they say, oh, I accept that. But there never has been a work of grace done in their heart. The Holy Spirit has never touched them. All of the fear they have is by the precepts of men taught to them. Now, of course, many years ago, when the old ministers in the churches didn't perhaps preach the gospel the way that we would like them to, and some of them didn't preach any gospel. But many years ago, they taught the shorter catechism. They taught the commandments of God. They taught the moral standards that should be taught. And there was always a fear in the people because the law of God was taught. Nowadays, men do not fear because they know nothing of God's commandments. The younger generation, a lot of them couldn't tell you what the Ten Commandments are. They couldn't tell you what God's law is and what the standards of God's law is. And so they sin, and the sin of immorality and of adultery and sex before marriage and all that goes with that whole scene is normal to them because they have never, ever been taught the scriptures and the truth of what God's word and what God's standard is. But when the Spirit of God moves upon the heart of an individual, he changes that heart. Even ministers and elders who preach can be imposters. The Bible says in Matthew 7:22, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, or preached in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Many have no evidence of salvation in their life. The Spirit of God, when it indwells a man or a woman, has changed their attitude to sin. Now I want you to get that. When someone is saved by the grace and mercy of God and the Holy Spirit operates on their heart and the Holy Spirit comes to indwell that person, he changes the desires of their heart. From the day they were born, the bias of their heart was towards sin and towards evil and towards to do that which is wrong. They were at enmity with God. They were against Jesus Christ. They were against the Word of God. They were against the principles. They didn't want it in their heart or in their life. Then suddenly the Holy Spirit enters. They're regenerated. They're changed by the power of God. They become new creatures in Christ Jesus. And the whole bias of their heart is changed. And now they want to serve God. They want to love the Lord. They want to obey the commandments of God. They want to live a holy life. They want to do their best to please God. And that's what the Spirit of God does in the heart of an individual. And if that work of grace hasn't taken place in a heart, then there is no salvation. If that bias is not changed, that is why people, before they're saved, they cannot understand why we would meet in a place such as this, to read God's word and to meditate upon it and to pray. They think it's complete lunacy, only a waste of time. To go to church twice on a Sunday is madness. to try to live an honest life and not enjoy yourself in the things of the world. They can't understand it. Why? Because their heart is darkened. But suddenly God enters the scene and he changes. As he did Saul on the road to Damascus. As he did the Philippian jailer. And there is a complete, distinct change. Because the Spirit of God changes the heart and indwells the heart. And the evidence is that there is a change of attitude to sin. And if we are saved by God's grace, we will have a desire to be holy. Now, of course, until we get to heaven, we can never be fully holy. We can never be perfect. But our aim must be holiness unto the Lord. And when we get up in the morning, till we go to our bed at night, it must be in our mind, in our heart, that we want to serve God. And when we sin, we're tempted and we sin, our conscience bothers us. And we need to seek a fresh forgiveness. Thank God, we have an advocate with the Father, even Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so the test, as it were, of a Christian is, has your attitude been changed? Has your mind been changed? Now, we're all very good at saying a man that's a drunkard should give up his drink. A man that's an immoral person should give up his immorality. But you know, when we bring that all down, a man that has a bad temper should give up his bad temper. Now you say, my temper is just my makeup. But yet you expect somebody else to give up something else. My dear friend, God helps us by the power of his Holy Spirit to overcome our bad temper, to overcome the opportunities to lie, to overcome the opportunities to steal someone's character, the opportunities that we have and the temptation that comes from the devil. We are changed, and the Holy Spirit enables us to do what we could never do before. In verse 11, we find the Spirit quickens. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwell in you. The margin says, because of his Spirit that dwelleth in you. One day the Spirit, the same Spirit that dwelleth in Christ and raised him up at the resurrection, will raise the believer up at the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ on that resurrection morning. And what a glorious hope for the future for those that are saved. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Why will we rise? Because Christ rose from the dead. He was the first to rise from the dead. And those of us that are in Christ, that same Spirit of God will raise us up on that resurrection morning, and we'll receive our new body. And you know, this old body in which we live gives us a lot of trouble and sorrow and heartache. From the day we're born till the day we die, man is born unto trouble, the Bible says, as the sparks fly upward. And this old body is dying, they tell you, from the day that you're born. There's some cells dying it. But you know, there's a day coming when that body that is laid into Mother Earth, ashes to ashes, dust to dust, will come alive, made anew, a body like unto his glorious body. What a day that's going to be for us, the saints of God, when the Spirit of God quickens us and brings us that new glorious body. In verse 14, we find that the Spirit leads us. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You see, the Spirit leads the believer into all truth. The Spirit teaches us. The Spirit guides us. The Spirit abides with us continually in our heart. in John 16 in the verse 13, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, will come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. The Spirit of God deals with us as believers by leading us into all truth. How does he do it? Through his precious word. Now, we're not into visions like the charismatics, and visions in the night and getting wee messages sent direct from heaven. But we're in the world of reality, where God the Holy Ghost takes his precious word and he impresses it upon our heart and he teaches us the truth of Scripture. That's why it's important to read the Bible. You know, one of the greatest benefits to God's children is to read this Bible through. Now, I don't know whether you've read the Bible through or not. A lot of people today read daily readings, and some of them are brilliant. And the more that you can get, the better, and read them. But it does not compensate or should not take the place of reading this book from cover to cover. You see, I couldn't do it. I don't believe that, because I thought I couldn't do it. Now, there's reading plans. Murray McShane's, people will tell you, use Murray McShane's reading plan. I couldn't use Murray McShane's reading plan. For the simple reason is, I couldn't read quick enough. But I believe it is good to start at Genesis, to end at the book of Revelation. Should it take you a year? Or should it take you 18 months? Or should it take you 2 years? And then start off again and read the Bible through. You see, I can't understand it. Neither can I. There's a lot of things in the Bible that you'll not understand. You'll say, I couldn't pronounce the names. Neither could I. So therefore, don't worry. Simply read the Scriptures. What you don't understand, go on. But you'll find that as you read the Scriptures, God will impress on your heart bits of the Bible here and there that will meet you at the point of your need day by day. It will guide you. And as the Spirit continually abides in your heart, you will be led by the Spirit. And you will be led into all truth. And you certainly won't be led astray. In verse 16, we find that the Spirit witnesses with our spirit. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. You see, the Spirit enables us to put our faith in the promises of God regarding the assurance of salvation. And when we read verses like 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. You could read that verse 100 times. Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. You could read it 1,000 times. And you say, I can't believe. How can I be sure? How can I know that that is really for me? But when the Spirit of God comes into your heart, the Spirit impresses upon your spirit and witnesses with your spirit that you can say, yes, I believe that I'm saved. I know I'm saved. How do you know you're saved? Because the Spirit of God impresses upon you and witnesses to you, and you can say that you're saved. Many's a person, before they're saved, they cannot understand how they would ever know that they were saved. But when the Spirit regenerates them and comes to dwell, the Spirit gives them that inner witness through some particular verse of Scripture. An old woman outside Castle Derrick, I may have told you this before, and an old house sitting at an old range, on in her 90s. And she said to me one day, we're sitting at the fire, and she said, you know, years ago when I was a young girl, I went to a mission down the road in a field there, and the preachers preached, and I stayed behind, and I asked the Lord to save me. She said, the next morning I got up, and I didn't know whether I was saved or not. The devil took at me. But she said, I went down to the well to bring up 2 buckets of water. And the house hadn't changed very much in all those years. It was still similar. You'd have thought you were living in a different age, sitting in the house. And she said, you know, Ronnie, I came up past that window there, and suddenly that verse of Scripture came into my mind. Him that cometh unto me, I will not cast out. And she said, that was impressed upon my mind, and to this day I have never had a doubt. You see, the Spirit of God impressed upon her heart, and she had the witness of the Spirit. The Spirit liberates us, the Spirit indwells us, the Spirit quickens us, the Spirit leads us, the Spirit beareth witness to us, and the Spirit helps us in verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. Through life we will have problems. We'll have sickness, we'll have sorrow, we'll have heartache, and we'll even think that God has left us. And yet the Spirit draws alongside to bring help and to comfort. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. All things. The good things. The things that we don't count so good. And the things that we don't like in our lives. God allows them for a purpose. And that purpose is for our benefit and for His glory. And you and I can never know, or will never know in some cases, until we get to heaven. And then we'll see back that whole pathway of our life. And we'll see that right along it, everything that God allowed to happen to us, everything that God allowed to cross our pathway, everything that God brought to pass in our lives, was for His glory and for our benefit. And we will see that only when we get to heaven. And then we'll be able to praise God that it was His hand that had guided us and led us and helped us each step of the way. And 2 Corinthians 1:3, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Ephesians 3:16, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. Thank God, when He saved us, He didn't leave us on our own, but the Holy Spirit came to indwell us and to help us and to go with us each step of the day of our life till that time comes when we leave the body and go into the presence of the Lord. And then, finally, He intercedes in verse 26. And we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And He that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And you know, when you and I realize that the Spirit directs our prayers, the Spirit teaches us how to pray, and to whom to pray for. He lays a burden on our hearts to pray. What a tremendous thing that is. Have you ever woke up in the middle of the night, something on your mind? You were able to lie there in bed and cry unto God to touch that loved one, maybe that was ill. Maybe to save that loved one that you've prayed for years. And God has impressed it upon your heart. Something else has happened in the world around you. The tragedies that have happened all over the world. Have you ever woke up and prayed for the children of God who was blown up perhaps in some of the bombs right across the world? Oh yes, it's very easy to remember the people who were blown up here in our own country because we know them. But there are believers who are your brother and sister in the Lord. And they are in trouble all over the world, and we need to pray for them. There are those today, pastors and churches and church members, that are hauled out of their houses. They are horsewhipped. They are put into prison. Some of them are kicked to death. And there's very few in those countries to even speak up for them. We think we have troubles here over the years as Christians. We know nothing about persecution. We were never persecuted in this country. Yes, people called us names and people didn't like us because of the stand we take for God. Which of us was ever taken out and horsewhipped? Which of us was ever taken and thrown into prison, a dirty, filthy old prison with not food in it? Which of us was ever kicked to death because we named the name of Christ? We need in these days to realize that when God brings these things to our remembrance, it's that we might uplift our brothers and sisters in the Lord. What about our missionaries? Do you ever wake up at night and think of our missionaries that have gone to a foreign land and they're lying in a hut out there in the heat, away from home? Maybe someone belonging to them ill, and they're away out there. Do you ever pray for them? Do you ever pray that God will draw near to them? You know, we can get so selfish that it all revolves around me and mine. But when the Spirit leads us, He impresses upon us whom to pray for. Have you ever prayed for someone and then you've heard maybe later that they were going through a hard time? They said, you know, at that particular time, someone must have been praying for me because God helped me. And you and I need to be led by the Spirit and impressed upon to pray for whom the Lord wants us to pray. You see, the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be open uttered, and he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And when we realize that the Spirit directs our prayers, teaches us how to pray, and to whom to pray for, that he lays a burden on our hearts to pray for different circumstances and different people, he leads for things at different times, and it's always according to the will of God. All let us tonight realize what we have as God's children. When we are saved by God's grace and indwelled by God's Holy Spirit, our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and how we could not live the Christian life if it wasn't for God, the Holy Ghost, indwelling us and enabling us and helping us. We would all fail miserably. But thank God for that great power of God, the Holy Ghost, that does so much for you and I who are His children. And when we come to pray, let us always pray with a heart that is full of fervency, full of joy, full of thanksgiving. And let us always meditate and think, now, who would the Lord have me to pray for, even at this time? Someone gone through the mill, and God impresses upon our hearts. Oh, let us be faithful, and let us uplift the saints of God, our brothers and sisters in the Lord, in prayer. Doesn't make any difference where they are in the world. If they're God's family, they're our brothers and sisters in the Lord. God loved them. God chose them. Christ died for them. And the Holy Spirit has regenerated them. And the same Holy Spirit regenerates them that has regenerated our heart. Oh, let us look to God in these days and rejoice for what He has given to us as believers. Never let us be downhearted or cast down, because God is still on the throne. And everything that's happening in this old world is happening because God allows it. God has a plan. God has a purpose. And it's all heading towards the climax when God's Son is coming again. And there is nothing nor no one in heaven or in hell or upon earth can ever thwart or disturb the set will of God. Men may try. Men have tried. But they've just been cast aside. And God's church goes forward. God's will goes forward. And God's will cannot and will not be changed.